You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada. Welcome to CICK News on the darkest day of the year. Citizens on Patrol is gearing up again in Smithers, and I'm speaking to Lorne Benson, a previous member and town councillor, about the Society's goals for Smithers in 2024. And Deputy Mayor Frank Ray is sharing his perspective of 2023 on council and a look ahead to 2024. That's today on CICK News.
Hi, I'm Frank Ray, Deputy Mayor of the Town of Smithers.
Thanks for coming in and talking with me. So we're kind of wrapping up 2023. You've done your last council meeting last Tuesday. So this year, it did seem like council had a lot of tempering to do with anti-pride protests, overnight camping bylaw, which then became colloquially a debate about where unhoused population could camp overnight, housing strategies, and on top of it, so many community services that are overwhelmed with the need in our community for support. So how do you think yourself and your fellow council members handled the town's needs this year?
Well, as far as handling the needs, I think we handled it fairly well to the abilities that we have to, obviously, the people in the homeless encampment and the people in surrounding the homeless encampment. Their needs weren't met. Mm-hmm. We did the best we could with the situation, but a lot of it's outside of our control. It's been a very long and difficult year as a counselor. Like, I've been doing this a long time. I would say this is hands down the most difficult year we've had, just with all the different things that have come to us. The one thing that I really admire about my fellow counselors is that we were able to do most of it with grace and compassion, but just even the anti-pride, for lack of a better characterization, even that, I think it was people in the community, people you know, people on both kind of sides that were presenting, and I think it was just that recognition that everybody's a human being and everybody has a different perspective, and how we felt that people fit into the community. I think the other thing that people don't see that we do is we had a very effective UBCM, which is where we go down and we get chances to talk to the ministers. We were fairly forthright and we met with a lot of ministers. Actually, all the meetings combined, I think there was more than 15 of them. A couple times we had to divide and conquer, but it was myself and Mayor Attrell and then Councillor Elliott and Councillor Raven, who were both rookies, but they really impressed me with their ability to speak to the minister. It's something I found I had to get used to because, you know, as much as I think people are equals, sometimes when you're sitting in the meeting with a minister, you feel like you're asking for something. And I think we've kind of gotten to where we're asking equal to something. The minister has a job, we have a job, we're in there and we just ask for things and give our perspective, because smaller communities don't always get included in decisions. So we really effectively lobbied this year, I think.
What were some of the things that you lobbied for that you felt was heard?
Well, the housing file, I think, you know, they made a lot of changes and we were there to kind of, you know, ask for our share. But it's very rare where you go and you just ask for a specific thing and you get it. Mm-hmm. So it's all about laying groundwork. The more communities come and ask for things, the better. But one of the things that we went specifically about was the riverbank, and that's moved along fairly well. It's kind of hung up in permitting and stuff, but we got money, and that went over very well.
Even just this year, I mean, elections were in 2022, and the demographic of the council seemed to change quite a bit. It feels like it sort of skewed a little younger this year.
Yeah, I think that's a positive thing. But we come from pretty different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We have different experiences. But one of the things that I think that hasn't been there, along with the other more visible things of indicators of diversity, is that it hasn't been a young person's game for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But when I first got on, I was 40, and I went to UBCM, and I was definitely among the 10% youngest.
Right.
And just going to different UBCMs now, I see the communities a lot better reflected.
Yeah.
Not that the stereotypical older people didn't do a good job, but I think it just brings different perspectives to the table. And a couple of the younger counselors have opened my eyes to a couple of things.
So what are some of the positive experiences that council is celebrating from 2023?
Actually, I think one of the most positive things was just how we kind of turned what could have been a very ugly community conversation about inclusion into something I think it was fairly positive for the community. Kudos to even the people that came out to complain. Some of them listened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a very powerful experience listening to people from the LGBTQ community telling their stories, maybe that they hadn't told before. And I think it was in a way it exposed that things aren't as nice as you might think they are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also showed that the community is willing to work on things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was actually really something that could have been very negative and turned out fairly well. I mean, I'm not the final judge of that, but I think, you know, going forward that Pride should be, you know, a little more relaxed, hopefully.
So what are the major projects that council will be working on for 2024?
There'll be a pause here. I was thinking on the way over, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, kind of, I don't know, near and dear to my heart is but one that I've wanted to see happen is the riverbank protection getting put in place, because last year they had to put emergency works in that actually kind of set the whole thing back a bit, because now that the emergency works are in, there had to be some offsetting fish habitat stuff. So we've sent a letter off to the Federal Minister of Environment trying to move that along, but it should get done, not obviously this year, but hopefully like in the right window, either December or January of 24 or 25. So that'll be protected. One thing that we're working on, but is very early stages, is working with the YMCA to try and to get a building built
right.
for childcare. That's supposed to be 100% grant funded, although it is early days. Mm-hmm. So one of the things is that it's 100% grant funded, but we may have to back up contingency. So mm-hmm. it may not be 100%, but that's something we're working on. We've got a grant in for a wastewater treatment upgrades, which certainly isn't exciting, but I think it's something that's been needed for quite a long time. And our staff's worked hard on refining our asks, and I think we've got a good project there, and hopefully the grant money comes through for that. Very, very early days deciding whether or not we actually need a water treatment plant. Budget isn't finalized yet, but we did bump up money for sidewalks. And I think that's something that the staff's done a very good job of this year,
mm-hmm.
trying to get the connector built to Cycle 16.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Continuing it on from the river and then into town. And we have a grant application in for that. And then at the same time, and we were able to prioritize them in the grant,
mm-hmm.
but we also have one for just finishing the bottom of Main Street here before it crosses the highway,
yeah.
to the same kind of standard that our present Fulton Avenue walkway is. If everything works out, you would be able to hop on your bike at the museum or Central Park and then ride up to 10th Avenue and go on the Fulton Avenue walkway, and then it would connect up to the bike path and all the way to the bridge.
Because like you said, this year was hands down one of the toughest years that you had. I mean, a lot of you have other jobs as well, businesses that you're running, you're very public facing. So what is it that keeps you on council for Smithers?
Well, I ran this last time because I knew that we were going to have a lot of non-returning councillors.
Yeah.
So I just felt that maybe the experience might be good to pass along. And as I think I'll keep doing it as long as I feel like what we're doing is having a positive effect. You know, no counselor gets their way on everything. And I think as long as we continue to model the respect for each other, we don't always have to follow each other's ideas. And as long as we're modeling the respect for each other, I think if I ever went and I just felt like, oh, nobody's listening to me, that would probably be the deal killer for me. But I'm excited about the next 3 years. I think we've got a good council and we've got some good projects on the way.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me.
And thank you for having me.
Okay.
The Citizens on Patrol program began in Manitoba in 1991. The program was initially guided by local law enforcement and Manitoba Justice. From there, partnerships were formed with the local communities with the goal of making their communities safer. 2 years later, COP Smithers formed and the volunteers at that time patrolled on foot as well as by vehicle. Now all volunteers patrol in vehicles with the same aim, to observe and report crimes. Lauren Benson is a returning member of Citizens on Patrol Smithers, and he's sharing the ways the organization is moving ahead with the goal to begin patrols by the end of January 2024 on the streets of Smithers. Here's Lauren now.
My name's Lauren Benson. I'm a resident of Smithers.
Okay, and how long have you been involved with Citizens on Patrol in Smithers?
Citizens on Patrol has been active in the Smithers area for, probably 25 years. And so, I've been involved with Citizens on Patrol in the past, sometimes by way of work and sometimes by way of being a volunteer and going out on patrols.
Mm-hmm. What spurred you to join the group?
I was on town council at the time, and we were having conversations with the people in the downtown business community. They were having some challenges with issues relating to property crime, that type of thing, and they were looking to the municipality to see if there were solutions to help address those challenges. And so I was not planning to run for council again, but I did say to the bylaw enforcement officer at that time that I would be interested in helping to get Citizens on Patrol started again.
The group online and offline, it seems like it's been pretty quiet for the past couple of years. Why do you think that there was an interest in getting it started again? And I guess also, was the pandemic mostly the cause for the lull in activity?
There is a combination of factors, but there's no question that the COVID pandemic was a part of the problem. At that point, then people weren't able to interact with anyone outside of their household. And so volunteers couldn't get together to team up for patrols unless they came from the same household, of course. And so then that had an impact as well on any administrative responsibilities that volunteers also had when it came to going into the community policing office in order to get paperwork done, send in reports, those sorts of things. So there's been an evolution with Citizens on Patrol, and some of them are still grandfathered into the earliest days when it was organized in a rather ad hoc way. And today, there's legislated requirements for setting up Citizens on Patrol as a nonprofit society, for example. And so then there's the added administration that goes along with that, and running an executive and proper management of any kind of funds that they may have. And there's liability exposures when you have people out patrolling. So there's been an escalation, of course, in terms of the training requirements to make sure that the patrollers conduct their patrols safely for themselves and understand what their responsibilities and limitations are when it comes to interacting with people who they observe perhaps involved in some sort of activity that they need to report.
Mm-hmm. I know that there was a meeting last Thursday in Smithers. Were you in attendance there?
It was at the Sunshine Inn, mm-hmm. and we were looking for enough of enough people to attend to fill executive positions. And we were able to fill 4 of 5 executive positions, and we'll be able to move forward with that. I don't doubt that we'll be able to get a full complement of 5 directors for the society. Then with that, we can register the Citizens on Patrol Society for Smithers and put the next steps in place for meeting those training requirements and ratifying a letter of agreement between the society, the town of Smithers, and the local RCMP detachment, which is basically the raison d'etre for the operation, and that's the patrol component.
Does the board create the training processes, or is that something that comes from a larger provincial or federal organization that gives citizen on patrol groups and communities guidelines for what sort of training to do?
That's a good question, Pamela. There is a National Canadian Citizens on Patrol Association, and they are a resource base for organizations interprovincially. There's currently not an active provincial association. So with communities like Salmon Arm and Williams Lake and Nanaimo still having very active citizens on patrol groups, there's lots of examples out there of best practices, and so that's kind of simplifying how we move forward and getting it organized in Smithers.
What are some of the concerns of the citizens on patrol or activities in the community that were part of reinstating the organization in Smithers?
There's been challenges with property crime, not just in the commercial area in the downtown core, but also in the residential areas too. Mm-hmm. And so creating more visibility out during those patrols helps to discourage that kind of activity. It's pretty rare, I think, that there would be any kind of interception that would occur, you know, if somebody was to be, for example, caught in some sort of a criminal enterprise. Generally, when they know that there's people out and about, they tend to just stay away.
Okay, and I guess, what are the demographics of the group? Who makes up Citizens on Patrol?
Well, the demographics would have been pretty evenly balanced between men and women, and certainly in terms of age group, most of the people who attended would be, you know, more mature. You know, myself, for example, I'm now retired and find that I have a little bit more time to commit to something like this. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the case for some others. But again, you know, when you find volunteers, they're often involved in other volunteer activities too.
Yeah.
And there's quite a complement of those folks as well. And so there's a wide range of people who are interested. And of course, with that comes a wide range of skill sets, which is ideal for running a society, because then you've got the people that you need in order to be able to run it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone wanted to join the group, what's the best steps for them to take?
Well, they can contact myself. I've got my contact information on social media. They can contact Dave Pruden, our community safety officer with the town of Smithers. They can also leave their name and contact information with the local Smithers detachment, and the staff sergeant, Mark Smale, would certainly pass that information along to me as well.
Okay. Was there anything that I didn't ask, Lauren, that you think is important for people to know?
Well, it's a situation where many hands make work light. So the more volunteers that we do have, the easier it is for everybody to participate without it being a huge time commitment. Some people are concerned about that time commitment, and what we're looking for is organizing patrols so that maybe the commitment might involve a 2 to 4 hour patrol once a month. Generally, it would be around peak times, say Fridays and Saturdays, mm-hmm. but there's going to be some flexibility with that. There may be enough interest that we may patrol more frequently than that. We'll have to see, but it won't be onerous for volunteers who want to participate.
I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, I appreciate you giving me a call so we could talk about this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.